Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. We help you stay sane in a crazy world. Say hi to your hosts, John Biggs and Lauren Feltman.
Welcome back to Tech Hygiene, the podcast about staying sane in a universe that's slowly expanding and threatening to destroy us all. How are you doing, Lauren?
I'm doing fine. That's quite the intro.
Yeah. So the universe, I believe, is expanding. I don't think it's shrinking. So slowly but surely, we're not actually imploding. We're actually being pulled apart at an atomic level.
It depends if you ask Einstein or Elon.
Yeah, exactly. If it's Elon, then he believes that we're all inside of a simulation and that we exist inside of his head, actually, which is pretty interesting.
How crazy is that? We weren't supposed to talk about him, but let's improvise, Biggs.
All right.
And talk about Elon for a second before we get to our other subjects.
I don't remember. Did he do anything exciting?
Yeah, he sent four guys into space last night.
Oh, yeah. He sent people into space. So that's that's the wacky thing. So think about this guy. So he's sending folks into space for using the launch pad for NASA. So he's basically completely co-opted NASA for his own purposes. I mean, obviously he's using his ship to ferry people up to space, but I mean, this is all his research. This isn't our research anymore. This isn't NASA research anymore. It's Elon Musk research.
It's pretty crazy how we turned over the whole space program to essentially him and Bezos, but he's crushing Bezos at the end of the day. And it's nuts. How many satellites has he sent up? He sent up like 10,000 satellites.
Elon.
And
yeah.
I don't even think, I'm not exaggerating. It's like 10,000 already.
Yeah. So that, no, well, hold on. Okay. It's apparently 60 small satellites.
No, that's went up lately.
Oh, well, hold on a second. I'm sorry. 42,000 Starlink satellites.
Okay, thank you. So
42.
Me, the king of exaggeration,
yeah,
was off by a magnitude of 4.2 times.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. So
think about that, 42,000. I read a lot of, you know, the real NASA guys were like, it's way too much. It's space junk. But he's getting the service out. He put those up for internet service, $200 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be in, I guess, I don't know, Zimbabwe or wherever the fuck you are, and wherever they don't have wires, you can get Elon's internet for $200 a month.
Yeah.
It's such a shame with him. You saw the whole space Karen thing, right? Oh, he also has Corona, right?
Oh yeah, he's got Corona. Or he doesn't have Corona. He's like, he's Schrodinger's Corona.
He's got Corona after, of course, saying, you know, the whole thing would go away by April. And the great thing on Twitter today is that some actual, like, real medical doctor coined him Space Karen. And it's taken off like wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very funny. It's interesting. I hate him. I think he's weird. I don't think he's a good person. He's obviously bright, obviously. I mean, Tesla is a complete Ponzi scheme scam. But what he is doing with the space stuff is very impressive. And it's kind of a shame that he's such a nutcase, you know, because I would almost make him head of NASA and just bring him in, you know, part of the loop rather than giving the whole farm away to him. You know what I'm saying?
So the interesting thing is there's a book, Seven Eves, by, what's his name? Seven Eves. See, I don't know what's going on with my brain. I can't remember anything. Neal Stephenson, Jesus. Neal Stephenson wrote this book, Seven Eves, and it's about space. It's about the moon exploding, right? And it's all about it. And one of the major characters is a guy who's just like Elon Musk, and he has his own space program for all intents and purposes. And he's one of the few guys who's actually able to get a ship into space. And he's the one who saves part of humanity using his ship. So we always imagined that there would be a situation where where NASA was going to be the first to Mars or whatever, but it's not going to be, well, I guess they are already, the first to colonize Mars. It's not going to be NASA. It's going to be freaking Elon Musk. Do we want Elon Musk with his crypto weird Anrandian crazy garbage populating an entire planet for us. He's going to turn it into like into the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Well, it's funny you say
Total
that.
Total Recall.
Well, last week he actually brought that subject up
mm-hmm.
and said that he would be determining the laws on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
He's strange.
Oh,
that's all I got to say about that.
So this is what I was talking. I had a thing this morning about like about funding and all this other stuff. And I talked to this guy, and there's a certain sociopathy associated with these guys who feel like they can get everything done. And I think it's being allowed for some reason in the Valley, because I guess that kind of brain activity is encouraged. I don't know. It's driving me nuts.
They're all the same kind of cats. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the people who are attracted to Elon are either cult of personality guys on the low level, you know, the Twitter fanboys.
Mm-hmm.
But on the high level, you know, it's guys who are like-minded. You know, it's like, it's almost like the same kind of thing with the Masters of the Universe and KKR in the 80s. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, these guys just get blind with dough and then power. And then, you know, suddenly they think that they can solve every problem in the world.
Well,
and like I said, it's a shame because he obviously is bright. I mean, I think we both agree with that. It's just that, as you said, his sociopathy kind of gets in the way of, you know, the true greatness that he desperately desires.
But then again, isn't
it? How can you be you're a space billionaire.
Yeah.
Just had a kid with some, you know, girl half your age. And you're still getting mocked on Twitter for being a dork. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's ultimately, people just see it. It's like, for all of the coolness and this and that, like, the guy's just a weirdo dork at the end of the day still.
Okay. What else we got here? We could start with this Mudge guy. So Peter Zatko, AKA Mudge, is head of security over at Twitter. So
right.
he's going to be information security, site integrity, physical security, platform integrity, source of trust and abuse and manipulation of the platform and engineering. And Zatko was over at Stripe. He was over at Google, and he was also on DARPA, which is pretty wild. And he was also, he was the leader of the Cult of the Dead Cow. Do you remember that?
Yeah, no, he's, you know, he's got ridiculous, he's like the good weave.
Yeah.
He's like the anti-weave in a way. He's got incredible chops, incredible reputation. Over at DARPA, he was actually in charge of giving out money and grants to people working in cybersecurity. As you said, he was at Google, he was recently at Stripe, and Jack brought him in and gave him complete autonomy, from what I understand. He reports directly to Jack. And he said he's going to take, I think, a 2-month review period
mm-hmm.
to look at everything. And then he's going to give Jack the recommendations. I did read he is a fan of this new feature on Twitter that doesn't let you retweet exactly instantly without reading the article. I'm assuming you saw that.
The control feature, which is pretty interesting.
Right, so he's actually, he's a proponent of adding more friction,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to less friction, which is interesting. And he's also, I read something about how he has no problem gaming the metrics that they present to bad actors, which I thought was very interesting.
Hmm. See, that's a good point. I mean, the idea that I'm more powerful or less powerful than I seem to be, that's actually a pretty good, but are they ever going to do that for like, if we ever get into a situation, and I don't think we're going to get into another situation where a sitting president uses social media in a way that is so detrimental to human discourse that it's almost unconscionable. But are we ever going to get into a situation where you would want to make, I don't know, some alt-right, if you want to make Weave feel like he has a million followers when he only has like 25?
Well, I think it could be the inverse as well. I mean, either way, it's, you know, a weird psyop based on, you know, based on ego in a weird way. And it almost reads like an attempt to demoralize.
Yeah. It's definitely a demoralization tactic.
Right. So he's got some progressive, interesting ideas. I don't know tons about the guy, but he seems to be legendary on the good side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's a positive development. Jack obviously knows that he has a problem. That being said, as you mentioned earlier, he could certainly just delete Trump's personal account right now rather than flag every single tweet. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. There should be some. I mean, he should be deleted ultimately. That's the thing that's.
He should be so deleted right now.
Yeah,
he's a lame duck president who's batshit crazy, and it's not like they don't know he's batshit crazy because they're flagging literally every tweet all day.
Yeah.
So what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point in letting him? Letting him keep going. So this Mudge guy seems like a good call, but I'm not going to hold
my
breath.
Might be too late.
I'm not going to hold my breath.
Right. Well, you can never hold your breath when it comes to Twitter. And is it too late? Can you put the genie back in the bottle, as they say? Or is everyone going to go to Parler?
Well, they're not all going to go to Parler. First off, I mean, so Parler's its own problem, because you can imagine what's going to happen over there. You're going to have some kids who are like, oh, this is great, we're free now, and they're going to put, like, I don't know, date rape porn and like kiddie porn up there, and they're going to get Parler into so much trouble it's going to almost destroy them.
And well, Parler's completely Russian. A friend of mine, world renowned actually researcher Dave Troy. At David Troy, I think it's at Dave Troy, who is a brilliant, brilliant tech guy from the VOIP world.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you know that
when you're waiting on hold... Yeah, of course. Yeah, I know Dave.
Yeah, so Dave is now very into data research and all of that. He broke, he's basically broken the Parler story.
Okay.
So, Parler is completely Russian and a disaster. So, you know, they've gotten millions of downloads, but it's all the old right nut cases, and it's a honeypot, and it's weird. They ask you for your license number. Mm-hmm. It's crazy over there. So, yeah, who knows with Twitter? Who knows? We'll have to see if it's too little, too late.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
Well, let's get the other disastrous tech company out of the way, which is TikTok.
Yeah, that's the hilarious thing. I love the fact that TikTok TikTok doesn't even know if it should be shut down or not.
Right. So, to catch up the audience, as you remember, Donald Trump said that TikTok has to shut down or cut a deal. He set a timeline.
Yeah. Exciting.
A week before the timeline, TikTok was like, we don't know if we're shutting down or not. What are we supposed to do?
The fact is Trump hasn't gone to anything. He hasn't been into he hasn't gone to COVID precaution meetings. He hasn't done any of the meetings recently. So basically, he was lame duck even before he became lame duck.
So TikTok is probably lower than COVID.
I guess they're pretty much on the same level, right? So if I'm TikToking and I'm COVIDing, either one is pretty low on the totem pole for old Donald Trump.
Right. So if you're a TikToker with COVID, you're definitely getting ignored by the president.
Yeah. But if you're on Twitter and you're yelling at him about stuff, I think if anything, what Trump was able to do is he was able to make us all think that he was a big. We can all yell at him now. We don't know if he hears us, but just by being on TikTok or just by being on Twitter, we can yell back at him. A lot of presidents didn't even think of that they could just make people angry just by being available.
Good point. He does have some positive qualities, I guess.
And you've seen a lot, and you've seen a lot of these things. Have you seen this? There was a Hoarders episode. Did you ever watch that show?
I'm obsessed with that show.
Yeah. So there was a Hoarders episode. I don't know if you saw it with like the couple, and their whole like upstairs was falling in or something like that. And cause they couldn't get up there. They would just like filled it up with crap. But in the middle of the show, they hated this town that they lived in. So they were yelling about the town. And in the middle of the show, they said they tweeted Donald Trump. And as if it were like, as if they had like called him on the phone and he was just going to get back to him after a brief respite, it would take him a minute to get back to him. But they had tweeted at him. So that's kind of a genius move, because he's basically saying to those people, I'm always available to you, quite simply because you don't understand Twitter. So if you need to get in touch with me, all you have to do is just press a little tweet button and we can help you out. It's actually really funny.
It's like the bat signal.
Yeah, it's exactly like the bat signal. You can send this, but the Batman never listens. That's the answer. That's right. The biggest problem.
And if he does, he comes and kills you as opposed to coming and saving you.
Yeah. So yeah, that's
all right. So TikTok gets a reprieve.
Yeah, they're gonna make it. They're gonna make it all the way through.
Those scrappy guys are gonna make it.
they're probably literally rolling in the down right now, rolling in the dough, and it doesn't really matter. All right, we got a nerdy one. The next one that we wanted to pop up was YouTube DL. Do you know what this thing is?
So apparently YouTube DL was some kind of open source code that would allow you to download videos from YouTube. It was on GitHub, and I guess Microsoft took it down.
So
Microsoft owns GitHub, right?
Yeah, so they owned it. So GitHub proper actually said that it was coming back. So this is an interesting thing. So YouTube DL basically let you type in YouTube. You would type in on your command line YouTube DL, and then a URL for a YouTube video, anything you wanted, like even if it had like commercials, even if it had live stuff, anything you wanted, it would just grab it and steal it. And we're going to call it like it is. You're basically taking this video from YouTube and you're taking it and putting it on your computer. That lets you take audio, that lets you take video, lets you take an entire movie if you wanted it, all this other stuff. Yes, it's stealing because it circumvents to a degree some of the protections in place that would allow me to make money as a YouTuber. So fine. But the what's happened here is they reversed the Digital Millennium Copyright Act takedown, which was sort of like which was very similar to the situation when they had DCES, or DCSS, I believe it was. Do you remember the DVD? The DVD yes. system?
Yeah.
So the DVD Blu-ray system, the encryption system was CSS, I believe. And they had somebody posted the code, and the code was super simple. So you would actually make a shirt out of the code, or you'd put it on a hat. And that was basically a DMCA attack, because you're basically showing how to circumvent the encryption. Right.
Before we even get to the ethics of, you know, and I guess that's where this is leading, mm-hmm. of why GitHub took it down. Why is it even a big deal when there's 1,000 Chrome plugins that do the same thing? What's the actual difference? And I don't have to open Terminal.
This one was a lot more powerful. It was oddly powerful.
I mean, I've pulled a zillion videos from YouTube with just some regular Chrome plugin. You just do a search in Chrome, download YouTube, and you get 100 different plugins.
Well, I guess the answer to that, quite simply, is that it was hosted on GitHub and Microsoft didn't like it. DMCA takedowns came and attacked them. And further, this was a lot more powerful because this actually allows you to get the audio, gets to the video, get different versions. It's very, very functional. It's like a hacker's tool. So if you wanted to reverse engineer YouTube, for example, and build your own YouTube, you could feasibly steal every single video using this. Versus you going on YouTube and pulling something down once or twice. That's industrial strength thievery. Yeah.
All right. Continue.
And I mean you're not it's but they're saying it's not a circumvention. So it's a, let me see. There isn't
who got angry about it all?
Essentially YouTube.
Right. Content creators didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
I guess coders didn't care.
Coders cared enough. Actually, they cared enough to actually post GitHub source code on GitHub. Did you see this?
No.
So GitHub source code was generally available, like the whole source code was generally right. available to enterprise clients. You could get access to it if you needed it. So they were sending it out to some enterprise clients, but you weren't supposed to share it, right? Mm-hmm. But somebody grabbed it from their enterprise server and posted it on GitHub. So it's the equivalent of posting, I don't know, the Windows source code onto Microsoft's website. So you're basically kind of like thumbing your nose at the whole system. And
yeah, that's a pretty ballsy move.
Yeah. So that happened. And then EFF came by and said, yeah, this is not specific. There's no specific circumvention here. There is some mention of like copyrighted songs and all this other stuff, but the RIAA doesn't understand what the hell's going on. And it's kind of goofy the way they put it together and the way they put together what this takedown. Because it's not actually a takedown. It doesn't, there's no circumvention here. It just basically reads what YouTube is doing and just gives it to the rest of the world or gives it to the user. So
where are we at now? How did this whole thing end at the moment?
It's back. It's back on the site. Everything's fine. Everybody's happy and all is right with the world.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God we can download our YouTube videos. I can download a YouTube video in peace.
Finally, I think we're all back to where we were supposed to be. Oh my God. Right. Yeah.
Well, sounds good.
Yes. And what else do we got? You got anything? We got anything exciting happening next week? It's Thanksgiving. So everybody's going to kill their grandparents. So should be a nice time.
We'll do another episode before Thanksgiving, but I think we've covered a lot. I mean, we were going to talk about Iglesias going to Substack, but ultimately who cares?
Yeah.
So I'm game to end it if you are.
All right. This has been Tech Hygiene. I'm John Biggs.
I'm Lauren Feldman.
And we will see you next week. Tech Hygiene is brought to you by Typewriter. Typewriter is your on-demand editor, and their amazing team of writers will make your book chapter, blog post, or email shine. Typewriter editors come from places like TechCrunch, Gizmodo, and the New York Times, and they offer low bulk rates for longer work. Check it out at typewriter.plus. That's typewriter.plus.